Carolina law making it a felony for sex offenders to access Facebook and other social media sites. The unanimous ruling citing First Amendment protections under the Constitution. A major cleanup going on in the New York City area after some very powerful storms yesterday.
Strong winds took down trees, power lines, and in Hawthorne, a lamppost jolting this man awake from his afternoon nap.
I woke up to a loud crack and boom, and then I heard a loud bang.
The storm also toppled a tree in Manhattan's Riverside Park, caused street flooding in parts of New Jersey, Long Island, and the lower Hudson Valley, and power outages in some places.
That's Sarah Lee Kessler. Tiger Woods getting professional help, he says now, to manage his medications after a DUI arrest. Woods blamed the incident last month on an unexpected reaction to drugs he's been taking legally after back surgery. USA Radio News.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer reportedly looking for someone to take over the podium in the briefing room. Multiple reports are saying that Spicer is going to transition to a more behind-the-scenes role in the administration's communications operation. Spicer's been performing the dual roles of press secretary and communications director following the recent resignation of Mike Dubke. The Supreme Court says the government cannot refuse to register trademarks, even if they're considered offensive. Sharon Reed with that story.
That's music from a group that calls itself The Slants. The Asian American musicians went to court after government patent officials refused to register the rock band's name. The Supreme Court has now sided with the band, saying the patent office's so-called disparagement clause violates the free speech protected by the First Amendment. The ruling's considered to be a victory for the Washington Redskins in fights over maintaining the NFL team's name. That team's trademark was canceled by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office in 2015.
And NASA says one of its telescopes has discovered about 10 Earth-like planets. Of 219 discovered orbiting distant suns, the Kepler Space Telescope, revealing that 10 of them are likely habitable. Its findings show these planets are orbiting in zones where liquid water and life forms could exist. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Time is 10:04. It's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Flemington right now, 77 degrees, clear skies, 10% chance of precipitation. It is June 20th, 2017, mostly sunny and highs in the mid-80s, west winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy, lows around 60, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mostly sunny and highs in the lower 80s, west winds 5 to 10 for tomorrow, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. Mostly sunny and highs in the mid-80s on Thursday. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, mid-80s on Friday. Saturday we have mid-80s, chance of rain 40%, partly sunny. Mostly sunny on Sunday in the lower 80s. Temperatures in our area, looks like it's really pleasant out there. 77 in Raritan, 73 at the county complex, 78 in Ringo, 77 in Kingwood, 74 up in Asbury, 77 in Easton, says 69 over in Clinton Township, 72 up near Hackettstown, and 75 over in Tewksbury. Stay tuned for Tech Today right after these messages.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome to Tech Today on HuntChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never seems to have time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers, be they seeking solutions for personal or business use, can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technology decisions. Each week, I will focus on topics about technology. Segments will include news, latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, you can get to me via messaging on Tech Today on Facebook. Email me at goodmorning@huntandchamberradio.com. The studio number here, 908-237-0410. And if you need to get in touch with me outside of the show, you can locate me at bluepantherbiz.com. Well, welcome to first day of summer. And we have tons of things to talk about. All sorts of technology information. Lots of technology news. We're going to get right to it. Let's see what's happening out there. We've had a number of the shows that have taken place. The first one, though, is pretty interesting. We had another breach. Data of almost 200 million voters online by GOP analytics firm has been leaked. Written in CNNTech.com, came out this morning, it says, the personal information of almost 200 million registered U.S. voters was accidentally exposed online to an improperly configured security setting, the security firm UpGuard revealed on Monday. The leaked information, compiled by Republican data firm Deep Root Analytics and two other Republican contractors, included names, birth dates, addresses, voter registration details, and social media posts. UpGuard cyber risk analyst Chris Vickery discovered the open database at 198 million voters on June 12th, and it was secured on June 14th, putting that number Into context, Politico reported last October that the United States had a little more than 200 million voters. About 1.1 terabytes of data was available to download and not password protected. This is the DNA of voter analysis, Vickery told CNN Tech. This is exactly what they use to determine how someone is likely to vote on a specific issue. Deep Root said in a statement the data was exposed on June 1st when the firm updated security settings. The firm said it, quote, builds voter models to help and enhance advertiser understanding of TV viewership, unquote. The Republican National Committee said in a statement that it has stopped further work with Deep Root, pending the conclusion of their investigation into security procedures, unquote. While Deep Root has confirmed the information access did not contain any proprietary RNC information, the RNC takes the security of voter information very seriously, and we require vendors to do the same, it said. Deep Root's database on the open Amazon S3 storage server highlights the years-long effort to companies to stockpile data about American voters. The database includes information about 2008, 2012, and 2016 presidential campaigns. The 2016 files were not as comprehensive as preceding years. The leaked data included posts scraped from Reddit. The text from those posts could be used for training computers to recognize language sentiment or to watch specific subreddits to see how people were feeling about political topics. Some of the exposed information, like voter registration, is public record, but states have different ways of letting people access it and rules on how it can be used. This is the third time Vickery has found a huge portion of the National Voter Registration Database leaked online. Amazon buckets, where data is stored, are private by default. Someone would have to configure the bucket to be public in order to be exposed. What's also unknown is whether Vickery was the first person to notice the exposed information. If a bad guy accesses that data, it could be used by stealing someone's identity, stalking individuals, or used as leverage for social engineering purposes, that is, tricking something like a phone company into giving someone else your data. There's a lot of people hunting for publicly exposed buckets for nefarious purposes, he said. And once again, I got to say it, and this might not be completely rectified by it, but when you put stuff in the cloud, everybody's got an opportunity. When you put stuff in your own building, you have to set up your firewalls, and you are the one that's involved. Now, don't get me wrong. If you still put it in your own business and you still have somebody monkeying with your security to the external world, you're still going to set yourself up. But the question is, why do you need to? If most of your people are going to access that data only internally, you should never need to expose that data. And if you do expose that data, you only expose the portion that you want people to see, not the entire database. So I am a proponent of not using cloud all the time. And once again, this has demonstrated why that is a concern of mine. But we have swallowed that pill for quite some time, and we'll see where it all goes. It is 10:15. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Tech Today, and we are on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tech Today, and we are on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Over the last couple of days, we had some events that allowed new products to be demonstrated. And we are I have a couple here that I would like to go over with you, some reviews. First one is the iPad Pro 12.9 review, written by Lauren Good and photography by Tyler Pina. This is on The Verge. And it says, there is something about the iPad that is aspirational. Every time I pick one up or use one or review one, I think, maybe this is the iPad I should buy. I have visions of carrying much less weight in my purse or backpack, of having LTE connectivity on my computer whenever I need it, of becoming the breezy, super-efficient iPad user that Apple shows in its commercials. I will be so damn creative with this thing, I think, especially with the larger 12.9-inch iPad Pro. And then reality sets in. This is not the iPad I will buy. That doesn't mean it's not a bad product or an insufficient computing device. Apple has improved this version of the giant iPad in a few key areas, including its display and processing power that makes it more appealing than ever to iPad lovers. But I still think it's built for certain tasks and serves specific needs. It also starts at $799 for the 64 gigabyte of storage. That's not including the cost of Apple's stylus, which is another $99, and accessory keyboard, which is another $169. So if you add all that up, we're working on, close to 1,000. Yep, close to 1,000. Actually, we crossed the 1,000 mark. The truth is that if you are a creative professional who is already itching to buy the updated version of 12.9-inch iPad Pro the Apple announced a couple weeks ago, then you're very likely going to get it regardless of what I have to say. If you're on the fence about it and you don't need a giant screen or don't think you'll use the stylus all that much, then you're probably better off getting the smaller 10.5-inch iPad Pro or even the lesser 9.7-inch iPad, which only costs $329. Still, there are a few hardware updates to this new version of the 12.9 that are absolutely worth noting, especially since we won't be able to full access the new improved software until it's released, meaning that iOS 11 will eventually come on it. Most obvious update to the big iPad Pro is its display. Smaller version, the new 10.5, also has a new display, unlike the 10.5 tablet, which has shrunken bezels to give you more screen. The 12.9 iPad Pro has been crafted to exactly the same dimensions as the 12.9-inch iPad Pro from 2015. Its display brightness and refresh rate are improved. However, it now has a True Tone display, which means it automatically adjusts to the lighting in the room. So it has a camera, obviously, that figures out the lighting and balances it for you. Apple also says it's 50% brighter than the last iPad, reaching 600 nits at peak brightness. This makes it a little bit easier to see in sunlight, although I still wouldn't plan to use this for beach reading. The display's refresh rate is even more noteworthy. Both new iPad Pro models have a variable refresh rate that changes from 24 Hz to 48 Hz to 120 Hz. That's the speed at which it does it, depending on the kind of content you're looking at on the screen. This means if you're watching an action-packed movie or scrolling a web page with lots and lots of photos, or shopping in an app that shows lots of visual products, the rate at which the pixels are refreshed on the screen will adjust accordingly, and the imagery would look more natural or smooth. Apple, not surprisingly, has a marketing name for this dynamic refresh rate called ProMotion. This naming convention is also partly due to the fact that this isn't just display technology, it's powered by its own separate core in the iPad's processor. This also means that Pencil, Apple's stylus that only works with iPad Pros, has a lower latency as well. If I'm being totally honest, I thought the Pencil worked just fine on the first iPad Pro, and I thought it worked just as well on the newer iPad Pro. In other words, I didn't notice a huge difference in speed or thought that it felt much more like a real pencil, whether I was writing in notes or using the pencil to make edits in a photo app. For what it's worth, Apple says the pencil now has 20 milliseconds of latency, which happens to be 1 millisecond less than Microsoft Surface Pro. Internally, the new iPad Pros have been updated with Apple's newest mobile processor, and this is really the element that makes this an iPad Pro and not just an iPad. The new A10X Fusion chip is said to be 30% faster than the A10 chip in the Phone 7. And early benchmark tests are showing that it could be even faster than that. The iPad Pro is, for the most part, completely capable of handling your everyday tasks, as well as more processing-heavy ones. As I write this, I have nearly 20 apps open, along with 7 tabs in web browser, and still app switching feels fast and fluid. At one point during my testing, the iPad Pro did freeze up, and I was unable to close any apps or switch to another one. And a new photo app, Affinity, also crashed once mid-project. This was surprising given the touted processing power, but I only recall those two instances in the past week. In 2017, 12.9-inch iPad Pro also has an updated rear camera. It's the same camera as the iPhone 7, and it's a really good one for a tablet. That also means it has optical image stabilization. And once iOS 11 comes out, you'll be able to take pictures of documents you need to sign and send them to Notes and annotate them immediately on the iPad Pro, or just mark up photos of your cat. But fair warning, no amount of camera technology will counter how ridiculous you will look holding up a 12.9-inch glass and metal slab to take a photo. The battery claim per charge with the new iPad Pro is the same as last one, 10 hours. In my experience with normal usage, it easily achieved that. I used it for basic productivity purposes, email, Slack, Twitter, and web browsing, and writing Google Docs at 50% brightness for several hours during the day. Then watched a 1 hour and 40 minute video with the brightness popped up. Went shopped a little bit before bed and still had 20% left the next morning.
Speaking of movie watching, the four speakers in each corner of the device, same design as the previous model with the same sensors that adjust sound based on orientation, offered excellent sound for a tablet. But there's movie watching and browsing and shopping, and then there are real work tasks. Even since Apple released the first 12.9-inch iPad back in November, people, including people at The Verge, have wondered if this was the laptop killer and think that would make us all ditch our PCs and our desktop operating systems and our desktop apps in favor of something light, fast, and essentially mobile. This one is still not there yet, but that's mostly because of its software. The loaner unit I've been using this week is running iOS 10.3, which already feels a little stale and will soon be outdated. iOS 11, on the other hand, which should roll out in public beta later this month and will become officially available in the fall, promises to be the iPad software revamp we've been waiting for. I was able to use an iPad running iOS 11 at Apple's recent developer conference, and the changes are great. There's an app dock that you can pull up from the bottom of the home screen at any time. Apps floated on the screen in multitasking mode. You can activate a mission control-like feature that lets you see miniaturized versions of all of your open apps, and you can use drag and drop across a variety of file systems and applications. There are still no real resizable windows in iOS 11, and you still can't really manipulate the home screen in the way that you would be able to on a desktop. But the changes mean you feel a little more in command of the things you want to do on the computer, rather than being totally stuck in the iOS world or full-sized windows and neat rows of app icons. So for now, the 2017 version of the 12.9-inch iPad Pro is a stunning new piece of hardware running on a soon-to-be-outdated version of OS, creating professionals or serious iPad users with the lot of cash to spend will appreciate the improvements, especially the display and processing power. For others, it's a big waste, a big wait and see, and yes, I mean to use the big there. So I don't know. I use a tablet, and I use an 8-inch tablet that I can fit in my breast pocket of my jacket. I can't see walking around with a tablet any bigger than that unless you're always used to carrying a portfolio. And then we get into the debate of Apple versus Android, and I still am not convinced that I am losing out on opportunities without being able to get to the Android apps. So, and I do use a laptop as well. So I have a laptop, a tablet, and a phone. And I use them for various opportunities. The laptop is for more desktop use that I can carry around. The phone is for most of my work, but the tablet is when I'm sitting in a meeting and capturing notes or documenting pictures and stuff like that. We'll see. There's another review here of a Surface Pro that's of a similar amount of money, and perhaps it might be something to consider. So we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They were so happy to see him, even though he was in very tough condition.
President Trump referring to the family's reaction when their son Otto Warmbier was returned to the U.S. after over a year of North Korean captivity last week. But now the worst has happened, as we hear from Mark Mayfield.
The 22-year-old died yesterday, just days after being returned to the U.S. following 17 months in a North Korean prison. Doctors said the 22-year-old Warmbier was in a state of unresponsive wakefulness when he was returned to the U.S. last week.
Polls are open for today's closely watched special U.S. House election in the Atlanta,
Georgia area. This woman says she's more than ready to cast her ballot.
Because there's been so much publicity, and I think the real issue is that people need to get out and vote.
Pollsters saying going into it, the race between Republican Karen Handel and Democrat John Ossoff is too close to call. This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
All right, welcome back to Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com. We're just talking about mobility and how we count on our Wi-Fi and we count on our LTE signals as part of our day-to-day work and day-to-day communication. Well, an interesting article here by Yahoo Finance reports that America has slower LTE wireless than Canada or Mexico. Written by Rob Pegoraro of Yahoo Finance on June 8th, he says, a new report on wireless broadband is out, and it may not leave readers cheering USA, USA, according to Open Signal study. Mexico, Canada, France, the United Kingdom, and more than 50 other countries offer faster LTE cellular data speeds than the U.S. Still, the latest installment of this biannual survey by the London-based research firm isn't all bad. Open Signal's findings, based on almost 20 million reports collected by its app from 558,000 users in the first quarter of this year, also show the U.S. is making strong progress in expanding LTE availability to more users, even if it's not always the fastest. According to OpenSignal's data, the average LTE download speed in the U.S. is 14.99 megabits per second in the first quarter of 2017. That's not exactly bad. It's an improvement from the 13.95 megabits average in the survey reported 6 months earlier. But a wide variety of other countries offered much faster speeds. A speedier wireless connection means you can download apps faster, share photos quicker, as well as stream ultra-high-definition video and transfer the sort of files that would ordinarily require a wired connection. Singapore led OpenSignal's list with an average of 45.62, followed by South Korea's 43.46, Hungary's 42.61. That's three times faster than the United States. The next dozen countries all saw average download speeds of around 30, which is twice our speed. You can fairly object that most are in the one part of Europe or another and therefore don't require local wireless carriers to cover large expanses like the American West. But Australia did manage 33.76, while Canada tops at 33.56. The U.S., meanwhile, lingers in the bottom 20 with 14.99. That's below the worldwide average of 16.4, and behind Russia, 16.64, Hong Kong, 16.01, and Jordan, 15.09. 16 countries trail the states, with India, that's surprising, 5.14, barely faster than 3G, coming closer to terms of population and area. OpenSignal didn't post data for China. Another bandwidth analysis service UCLISSpeedtest.net posted somewhat consistent numbers in its last round of country-specific figures. It found that LTE-capable phones that should connect to a network in U.S. And averaged 19.61 over the first 6 months of 2016. In Canada, LTE phones yielded 25.21 on average, while in Mexico, managed speeds of 16.19. Well, that's pretty drastic. Looking at availability, the U.S. might not have the fastest data speeds, but it does have one of the highest availability scores. OpenSignal's term for how much time users stay connected to an LTE network. We're fourth in the world with 86.5% availability after South Korea 96.38, Japan 93.48, and Norway 86.6. Our nearest neighbors didn't fare as well. Canada is 81.1 and Mexico is 69. OpenSignal's data also shows considerable progress for U.S. LTE networks. In November, the company's data showed domestic LTE available ranked 10th in the world at 81.3 and download speeds averaged 13.95. It's important to note that availability doesn't equal coverage. These numbers don't show that 86.5% of America's surface has LTE, only that phones running OpenSignal's apps had LTE signals. 86.5% of the time. There are two lessons to take away from these data points, and looking up housing costs in Singapore or Seoul should not be either of them. The first is the competition works. The fear of losing subscribers to rivals has kept the big four U.S. carriers working hard to deliver faster speeds in more areas. And net neutrality rules that bar internet providers from charging sites extra for faster delivery of their data doesn't seem to have held that work back, despite all the forecasts of doom from opponents of open internet regulations. The other is that good ideas in telecom policy don't stop at the water's edge. We should be willing to look at what other countries have done to speed up broadband access, whether it's blocking telecom mergers or making it easier for wireless carriers to add capacity. Then steal their best ideas without bothering to send a check in return. It's a bit disappointing, though. Cable now is offering in the 50s up to 150 megabits per second download speeds. Remember that download and upload are completely different. Upload speeds are much slower. So for those that have antiquated cable, this is not much different. It's similar to what you have. But for those people who have had enhanced cable experiences, this is pretty much a drop-off. Our cable experience is easily close to the Singapore-Korea level of data speed, and that's really where we should be. So what's stopping them? I don't know, but we're looking at an eventual rollout of 5G in the near future, so we'll see how that enhances the speed. Moving on, we have Microsoft Surface Pro is being reviewed by Daniel Howley of Yahoo Finance on June 15th. And he says, when it launched back in 2012, Microsoft Surface was little more than a reference design for the company's Windows 8 operating system. Unfortunately, Windows 8 was a disaster. But the Surface hardware proved to be a diamond in the rough thanks to its simple 2-in-1 laptop tablet design. Which brings us to the new Surface Pro, the follow-up to Microsoft's excellent Surface Pro 4. The new Surface Pro, there's no number designation for this one, builds on the successes of its predecessor with improved performance, a new, more flexible kickstand, and an upgraded stylus. And while you now have to shell out an extra $100 to get the whole package, it's still worth the price of admission. I'd be both impressed and a bit concerned if you could tell the difference between the Surface Pro 4 and new Surface Pro at a glance. That's because the new Pro's design hews so closely to its predecessor that any changes are incredibly subtle at best. Microsoft points to the system's newly curved edges and the lack of fan vents on the Intel Core M3 and i5 powered versions only as some of the 2-in-1's most distinct changes. At this point, I wish Microsoft could revamp the design a bit. Still, the fact that the company managed to pack a Core i5 processor into a device without a fan to keep it cool is seriously impressive. I, however, have the Core i7 powered model, which does have a fan and vent, but it's not like it sounds like a jet engine or anything. So let's stop there for a second. The chip is a processor. It is the component that does all of the math to decide how to run your computer, in this case your Surface Pro. Now, one of the challenges of any laptop purchase or any computer purchase is it's the marriage between the hard drive, the chip, the network connectivity, and the memory. Usually, not all the time, but usually, the bottleneck is the memory, followed by the network, usually. Hard drives are very cheap to buy, so that's usually not an issue anymore. Buying a higher processor may be redundant, might not be worth it. You have to look at what you do that requires you to have a higher processor. And in most cases, in my experience, very few people are using a computer or a laptop or a tablet to the level that they need a higher processor. If you're doing computer programming and database management, or you're expecting people to go and number crunch on the actual computer, yes, you're going to need a higher processor. But if you're doing small spreadsheets and surfing the web, most of the time, a higher processor is not going to get you anything except bragging rights. So you need to look at the price of value of that versus what you do. Biggest physical change to the Pro is its new kickstand, now that you can lean the Surface all the way back 165 degrees until it essentially is flat on its back. Microsoft says this is a help make it easier for people who want to write on the Surface using their Surface Pen or using the Surface Dial accessory. One of the best features of the Surface is its display. That's been the case for the past few generations of Surface devices, and it's no different than this time around. The Pro's 12.3-inch screen is beautiful, especially when using Microsoft apps like Office, Edge, or others. This time around, the Surface team improved the device's display to work better with the new Surface Pen stylus. According to Microsoft, the pen is more sensitive than its predecessor and suffers from less latency. The company says it cut down the responses time for the pen to 21 milliseconds, which is one more than the Apple that we just talked about. Microsoft also added a tilt feature to the pen so that it can create wide strokes with the stylus when you tilt it. We already talked about Apple's 12.9, so that's not of interest. The Surface Pro's pen's performance is certainly impressive. Writing to the Pro's screen genuinely does feel like you're writing on a piece of paper. It did notice a hint of lag even when scratching off a note, and the tilt function works just as advertised, though it didn't seem to work with every app. I'm sure that will be helpful for artists, but all it did for me was give me a chance to add some extra flair to a few doodles around my notes. Personally, I don't use a stylus. I've never felt a need to do that. My handwriting is atrocious, so I wouldn't use it in the first place. But for those people that feel that that's a better option, it's there. My one beef with the Surface Pen is that it's no longer included with the price of the Surface, so they're doing the same thing as Apple does. Previously, Microsoft tossed in the stylus as part of the Surface package, But this time around, you'll have to shell out $99, exactly the same price. That's a heck of a lot of cash for a stylus. I previously criticized Apple for charging that much for Apple Pencil stylus, and now Microsoft is doing the exact same thing. Sure, the new stylus pen is supposed to offer improved performance, but it's still a bad look. To get the full Surface Pro experience, you'll have to also purchase a Surface Pro type cover for $129. Microsoft also sells the $159 signature Surface type cover with its Alcantara fabric covered body. But outside of that, both keyboards are essentially the same. I like typing on the type cover. I wrote this review with it, but still have the same complaint I've always had about the whole setup. It just doesn't feel comfortable when working on your lap. The fact that you need to rest the kickstand on your knees means you need to keep the Surface tucked close to your body when typing. Either that or I have usually short thighs. That said, I hardly even use the Surface or even laptop for that matter on my lap. I'm usually sitting at a desk or table. If you tend to work on a bus or train, though, you might want to keep that in mind. In terms of overall performance, the Surface Pro can range from a solid web browsing machine to a full-on media consumption and creation device, depending on your configuration. The base model, which starts at $799, very similar to the 12.9 tablet, Apple iPro Pro, comes with an Intel Core M3 processor, 4 gig of RAM, and a 120 gig hard drive. That's plenty of power for someone who's just going to surf the web. Do people even say that anymore? Watch Netflix and send angry messages to celebrities on Twitter. If you're looking for a little more horsepower, there's also the Core i5 and 4 gig of RAM and 128 gig solid state drive at $999. I'd suggest most people opt for the Pro with a Core i5 processor, 8 gig of RAM, and a 256 gig hard drive. If you want to max out your Surface, Microsoft offers a model with an i7, 16 gig of RAM, and 1 terabyte for $2,699. Very pricey. Don't forget, you'll need to add $139 for the keyboard, $99 for the stylus. If you're in the market for a similarly lightweight device, you can always opt for the 13-inch MacBook Air and a Core i5 processor, 8 gig of RAM and 128 gig solid state hard drive for $999. He said he already did these on the i7. The Surface Pro can get up to 13 and a half hours of battery life when playing video and with display's audio brightness feature turned off. I personally saw all-day battery life, meaning I got through my 8-hour workday with the Surface Pro with the brightness between 25 and 50%. Push the brightness up to 100, and you'll see the battery fall significantly faster. So if you play outside, it's going to be difficult. Should you get it? So what's the story? If you're in the market for a premium laptop that can double as a tablet and can more handle your everyday tasks, then I'd recommend going with the Surface Pro. If you don't think you're going to use the stylus more than once or twice, though, just save that $99. And there you have it. So you have an iPad Pro versus a Microsoft Surface Pro that you can make your comparisons. Once again, Apple versus PC. Apple versus Microsoft. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Open houses are only a couple of hours a week, but when you... have virtual reality, we can be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Sotheby's hires the VR company Matterport to film their listings for the virtual...
There's this visceral sense of being there that you get.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning, 100in.com. It's actually not Good Morning, 100in. I was distracted by my computer playing a video that I didn't need it to play. It's Tech Today on 100in.com, the voice of business. And some of you might be looking for that new PC, but... and that's because you're having trouble with the old one being slow. Well, here's some things you can do before you make that choice. Because why not take an opportunity to speed up your PC, if you can, and buy some more time? So if you want Windows 10 to run faster, Computer World has an article here written by Preston Gralla. It says, Windows 10 quick tips, 6 ways to speed up your PC. Try these methods to make your machine zippier and less prone to performance problems. Change your power settings. If you're using Windows 10 Power Saver plan, you're slowing down your PC. That plan reduces the PC's performance in order to save energy. To do it, launch Control Panel, then select Hardware and Sound Power Options. You'll typically see 2 options, Balanced Recommended and Power Saver, depending on your make and model. You might see other plans here as well, including some branded by the manufacturer. To see the high performance setting, click down the arrow to show additional plans. To change your power settings, simply choose the one you want, then exit Control Panel. High performance gives you the most oomph, but uses the most power. Balanced finds a medium between power and better performance, and Power Saver does everything it can to give you a much longer battery life. So you got to decide. Disable programs that run at startup. This happens constantly, folks. Whenever you're installing something, you probably don't realize it. But one of the things that happens is that sometimes they're installing other apps And sometimes they're decided that the app that you're installing right now needs to start up immediately so that you're getting the best, fastest introduction into the app as soon as you want it. As it turns out, I mean, how much longer does it take if you want to open an app to 5 seconds, 10 seconds to wait rather than having it bog down your PC? If it's something you're going to use constantly, I get it. But if it's something you're only going to use every so often, why have it run at startup? So one reason your PC runs maybe sluggish is you've got too many programs running in the background, programs that you may never use or only rarely use. Stop them from running and your PC will run more smoothly. Start by launching the Task Manager. You do this by pressing down the Control, the Shift key, and the Escape key all at the same time. Or you right-click the lower left corner of your screen and select Task Manager. If the Task Manager launches as a compact app with no tabs, click More Details at the bottom of the screen. The Task Manager will then appear in all of its full tabbed glory. There's plenty you can do with it, but you're going to focus only on killing unnecessary programs that run at startup. Click the Startup tab. You'll see a list of programs and services that launch when you start Windows. Included on the list is each program's name as well as its publisher, whether it's enabled to run on startup and startup impact, which is how much it slows down Windows 10 when the system starts up. To stop a program or service from launching at startup, right-click it and select Disable. This doesn't disable the program entirely. It only prevents it from launching at startup. You can always run the application after launch. Also, if you later decide you want it to launch at startup, you can just return back to this area and change it to enable. Many of the programs or services that run on startup may be familiar to you, like OneDrive or Evernote Clipper, but you may not recognize many of the other ones. Anyone who immediately knows that bzbui.exe is, please raise your hand. No fair Googling it first. The Task Manager helps you get information about unfamiliar programs. Right-click an item and select Properties for more information about it, including its location on your hard drive, whether it has a digital signature, and other information such as the version number, the file size, and the last time it was modified. You can also right-click the item and select Open File Location. That opens File Explorer and takes it to the folder where the file is located, which gives you another clue about the program's purpose. Finally, helpfully, you can select Search Online after you right-click. Bing still then launch and links to sites that information about the program or service. If you're really nervous about one of the listed applications, you can go to a site run by Reason Software called Should I Block It and search for the file name. You'll usually find very solid information about the program and service. Disable shadows, animations, and visual effects. Some of these things are really cool on our operating system. We love to see them, but eventually we just become bored with it. We hardly even notice it. Windows 10 has some nice eye candy: shadows, animations, and visual effects. On fast, newer PCs, these don't usually affect system performance, but on slower and older PCs, they can exact a performance hit. It's easy to turn them off. In the Windows 10 search box, type sysdm.cpi and press Enter. This launches the System Properties dialog box. Click the Advanced tab and click Settings in the Performance section. That brings you to the Performance Options dialog box. You'll see a varied list of animations and special effects. If you have time on your hands and love to tweak, you can turn individual ones on and off. These are the animations and special effects you'll probably want to turn off because they have the greatest effect on system performance. Animate controls and elements inside Windows. Animate windows when minimizing and maximizing. Animations in the taskbar. Fade or slide menus into view. Fade or slide tooltips into view. Fade out menu items after clicking. show shadows under windows. However, it's probably a lot easier to just select adjust for best performance at the top of the screen and then click OK. Windows 10 will turn off the effects that slow down your system. Well, I'm going to have to get out of here. We're finishing up, but there's plenty of other ones, four other ones to be exact, and we'll cover them in the near future. It's been my pleasure to be with you. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today, and hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. Stay tuned for Some Things About Money in just a moment.